Crossroad International Church podcast. We're so glad you joined us. It is our prayer that God will use this message to bring comfort to those who are hurting, give hope to those who find themselves in what seems to be a hopeless situation, and to encourage the one who is struggling through a difficult season of life. For more sermon audio, resources, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit cickuwait.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Today, I just want to talk about being selfless as a steward. We're going to talk a bit about stewardship as a lifestyle. Most of the time when you hear a message on stewardship, it's only talking about your money. That's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about stewardship as a lifestyle, a steward of everything. If you would, turn with me to the book of Genesis. Chapter 39, I want to read verses 1 through 5. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he served him, and then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So stewardship is not something that we do once a year when the church has a stewardship campaign. Stewardship is a lifestyle. It's the way we lived. The reason Joseph was made a steward or was made an overseer in Potiphar's house is because the hand of the Lord was on Joseph. His lifestyle was a lifestyle of stewardship. And each one of us is called to live our lives as stewards of God for the things that he has put in our hands. And today I want to talk about basically three areas. Here are some of the things that we are stewards of. We're stewards of our time, our talents, our ministry, our words, our life, our family, our minds, our spiritual blessings, our citizenship, our church, and our stuff. So today I want to look at three areas. Number one, stewards of our mind, because if we can get the mind right, everything else works out. Then I want to look at stewardship of our time. What do we do with the time that God has given us? And lastly, stewardship of our stuff. How do we take care of our stuff? So what is a steward? We said with Joseph, he was someone that was a trusted servant. He was actually a slave, a trusted slave in the house of his master, and his master put him in charge of everything that we have. And I think all of us would agree and understand that we are servants of God. We are bond slaves of Jesus. So as a steward, we are a trusted servant or a trusted slave of our master, our heavenly Father, and we are to take care of the stuff that he puts into our care. Stewardship is what we do with what God's given us. How do I take care of the things God has given us. Let's look at stewardship of our mind. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. I'd like to use a illustration from my childhood. I grew up as a farmer on a large farm, and so I want to use some illustrations from farming about how to be stewards of our mind. Have any of you ever eaten chili con carne? What is that? Chili with? See, the word for mind is carne. It's the same word as chili con carne. When we have a worldly mind, we could simply say we're a meathead. Now look at your neighbor and say, I hope you're not a meathead today. Okay, I hope we all have a spiritual, godly mind, but I want to show you how to do that. The first thing, when I was growing up, we spent a lot of time preparing the field. My father would decide where we were going to plant a crop, and then we spent more time preparing the field than just about any other thing we did to bring in a crop. We would plow it, normally twice. We would then run a disc over it. We would then run a harrow over it. We would get everything ready to where the soil was as good as it could be so that when we planted the seed, it would take root. So we need to prepare the field of our mind. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have to be careful what we think about. We have to be careful of the things that we meditate on, because the Bible says that sin begins as a thought. Dell can attest, we hear all the time as pastors, oh, pastor, it just happened. I just fell into it. No, first you thought about it. And then you meditated on it for a while, and then you acted on it. So we need to make sure that we guard the things in our mind so that we can be good stewards of our minds. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. As you get in the Word will transform your mind. Ephesians 4:22 through 24. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in the true righteousness and holiness. I think we're all human in here. Any aliens? Martians? No. As humans, we have a tendency sometime to think our own things and not to think the things of God. But once I became a born-again believer, I became a new creation. I put off the old man, and I put on the new man, so I no longer can use the excuse when I think bad things, oh, that's just the way I am. No, that's the way I was, and that old man is dead and buried. And the new man, we are resurrected with Christ, so we are able to have the mind of Christ. So we must spend time in the Word of God and in His presence to allow the Word to wash our mind. Remember when I was in Bible college, we had a young man that was from New Orleans, drug guy. He got saved, I think, on a Friday or a Saturday night, and he ended up in Bible college on Monday morning. And his brain was totally fried from drugs. I remember he introduced himself that first day, and he got up and he goes, Jonas, what's my name? And so his buddy that brought him, he said, oh yeah, cool, my name's James. And I mean, just nothing left from the drug abuse. And at the end of the year, he was able to preach the word, carry on good conversations, because daily he was in the Word of God and God had renewed his mind. See, we shouldn't be thinking the way we used to think. We should have the mind of Christ. So after we prepared the field and we got everything ready, then it was time to plant the seed. So you have to make sure that you plant good seed. We plant the Word of God in our mind. Joshua 1:8 says that we are to meditate on His Word day and night. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do accordingly. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 tells us what we're to think about. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I think it's interesting that it doesn't say, finally, brethren, whatever things are on CNN or BBC or Fox News or whatever, think on these things. No. He gives us some guidelines of what we need to think on. The other night, Wednesday night, I was at the life group with Matt and Rob and Neil called Guardrails, and it's about putting guardrails in your life. These are some guardrails for the way we think. And then Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I hope that all of you have a Bible reading program, that you are in God's Word on a daily basis, because it's in His Word that our spirit man is fed. And I've used this illustration all over the world as I've preached. I've even used it here. If you only ate lunch every Sunday, some of us it would be good for a while. But eventually we would die if we only ate one meal a week. We would die of malnutrition. But how many times do we wonder, God, why do I keep falling into these same things over and over again? Why don't I have the power of God that the Bible talks about? And many times it's because our spirit man is dying of malnutrition because we only come and eat one meal a week at 10 o'clock on Friday morning. Either say okay or ouch or amen or something, okay? Because we need to make sure that we are constantly in the Word of God. So we spend a lot of time on the farm preparing the soil. We could plant the entire crop in 1 or 2 days. We'd spend a week or more preparing. Then came the hard part. Once the seeds came up and the plants grew, there's something else. I don't know why it happens, but it does. You plant good seed, certified seed, but weeds seem to grow with the seed. So then from the time the seed was about the plant was about 4 inches tall until just before harvest, every week we would go cultivate the crop. And that lasted for weeks and weeks of cultivating the crop. I remember one time we had the thing called pigweed that got in our crop, and so there was no way to get it out except by hand. So my dad gave me and my brother a machete, and we walked through a 100-acre soybean field chopping out pigweed. And it seemed like every one we chopped out, two more grew up the next day. But we have that same thing in our minds. We cultivate, we plant the crop, but then the enemy always tries to come and put these thoughts, so we must cultivate our mind. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus. And then Psalm 101:3 says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Psalm 101:3. We have to be careful what we set before our eyes, what we watch on television, movies, what we read, those types of things, so that our mind is guarded by the things from the enemy. Because we will reap what we sow. You want friends? Be friendly. Simple as that. So the things that we sow in our minds are the things that we will reap. So God wants us to be good stewards of our mind. Because if we can control our mind, our life will be much better. Think of arguments you have, misunderstandings. It all starts up here. Now, God also wants us to be stewards of our time. Let me give you some bad news. Time is not manageable. Every one of us is given 24 hours a day, and there's nothing we can do with it. We can't save it. We can't store it up. We can't bring it back. So we cannot manage time. The only thing we can manage is what we do with the time that we have. Amen? It's impossible to manage oneself in time and to be responsive to circumstances as they arrive without the help of God. So we need God to help us to manage ourselves in time. Time cannot be added to. It cannot be changed. It cannot be subtracted from. It cannot be stretched or shrunk. And it cannot be saved. Let me ask you, how many of you have time-saving appliances in your house? Come on now. Okay, so where does it save it? I mean, I've got a savings account at the bank, and I put some money in there, and then later I can go draw it out and use it. See, it's a misnomer that we can save time. All we can do is make better use of the time. Our time is a pure gift from God. When you woke up this morning, you were given a gift from God, another day on this earth. So do not be selfish with your time. God wants us to be good stewards of our time. Give of your time to help others. Learn the best way to do everything. Be willing to change old habits if it means becoming more efficient. Listen to people that have been before you and give you advice. They can help you be more efficient. I came in here yesterday and put these two stands together for the TV monitors. Did this one first. Took me about 45 minutes because I had to read all the instructions. Put it in backwards the first time. Had to take it apart, turn it back around right. I put this one together in about 20 minutes. Why? Because I learned how to be more efficient because I had already done it and already read the instructions. We've got an instruction manual for life. If we follow it, a lot of times we can be more efficient with our time. Use your downtime constructively. How many of you have ever had to deal with a government office here in Kuwait? Is it fast? No. So what do you do when you go to the office? And you're sitting there. Have something to do, a book to read, or something to be constructive to make the best use of the time. I remember when we first went to Kenya, and I had this list of, I don't know, seven or eight things that I needed to do. And I left home that morning, and I went to the government office to get all of these things done. And I came home, and my wife goes, well, what did you get accomplished today? Well, I learned where to do the first one. Understand? So what do you do with all that time? I needed my driver's license, a huge sign, about 4 foot by 4 foot. It said, new driver's license applications. Where would you stand for a new driver's license? In front of that sign. So for about 2.5 or 3 hours, I stood in front of that sign in line, and I got up to the desk, and I said, I need my application for my new driver's license. And he said, oh, that's down at counter 24. Well, when did you change it? Oh, about 5 years ago. And we all face things like that. But you can be efficient and get some things done if you plan ahead. A philosopher, I can't remember where I read this, but he said, the length of our life is not as important as the quality of our life. Every person has been given 60 seconds in every minute, and 60 minutes in every hour. Ask God to help you do those things which are truly important. There is a principle, many times the urgent takes precedent over the important. So ask God to help you use your time on those things that are important more than just those things that are urgent. And then finally, stewardship of our stuff. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 19 to 33. Do not lay up treasure for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye, and therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all of these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. See, our stewardship of our stuff is about obedience to God. Giving, offerings, those types of things is about obedience to God. It's about the lordship of Jesus. Verse 21 there tells us that where our money is, there our heart will be also. And giving is part of God's nature. John 3:16, God so loved, he what? He gave. And you and I are built and made and created in the image of God. So as our Heavenly Father, we also are givers. Our time, our talent, our effort. The least thing that we have to give is our stuff and our money. Proverbs 21:26 says, he covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. John 12:1-6. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. And then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? And this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. We have to be careful when we think about what we're going to give, what God has challenged us to do for others. What is our attitude? See, Judas got all upset that this ointment was broken and it was used to anoint Jesus, an extravagant worship of Jesus. And he said, oh, we should have taken it and sold it and put it in the box. Why? Because he wanted to use it for himself. I have to be very careful every time God speaks to me to give something and I say no. Because normally, 99.9999999% of the time, I say no because it's something I wanted to use for me. But I've learned when God challenges me to give and I obey, he blesses me beyond anything I could ever have dreamed. Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. Let me ask you today, here in Kuwait, are you making a living? Are you making a life following Jesus? And I want to close with this illustration. Maybe a bit silly, but it speaks to us. I like eating at Burger King. I've got a Burger King in my hometown back in America that I like eating in. So here in Kuwait, we go to Burger King. But I don't eat at the Burger King in Bayonne or Mishrif and then send my money to the Burger King in Zachary, Louisiana to pay the bill. Why? Because I pay where I eat. And I said that for this simple reason is many of us have home churches back home and we still are sending our tithes and offerings back home, but we're eating here. So I just want to give you just a exhortation. Give where you're fed is all I'm asking. Just think about it and pray about it. Because God wants us to be good stewards of everything. Stewardship is a lifestyle. Our time, our talents, our efforts. We need to be a good steward of this facility that God has given us to make the best use of it. So we're in the future, we're going to be running some classes and different things because we have two classrooms up on the 12th floor that when the kids are done, we can use in the afternoon to make the best use of what God has put in our hands to bless the body of Christ here in Kuwait. And I want to thank you as a congregation that you have been faithful in giving. God has met our needs. But moving to this facility, our costs have increased. So we just need you to listen to God and trust him. Amen. Because God wants us to be selfless as stewards and understand that stewardship is a lifestyle. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you for this time. We just ask your blessings upon your people. Father, I thank you that you have called us to be good stewards and you've called us to be selfless, not selfish. Father, I thank you for the blessings that we can see around us just in this facility. And Father, I ask that your favor would be upon the management of this hotel that has blessed us with such a facility. And Father, they're giving us all of the tea and coffee and snacks for free. And we just ask that you would continue to bless them and lead them and guide them and bless this hotel. Father, bless your people as they are faithful to walk before you. Father, help us to be faithful with our minds, to be careful what we put inside of our minds. Father, help us to be faithful with our time, faithful with our stuff. And we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.